Morning. How many of you have ever gotten something stuck where it should not have been stuck? Pretty good, huh? Take a look at this. My son, Dre, he's one, managed to get one of his Hot Wheels buses, you can see it there, stuck in our surround sound subwoofer. And I wasn't really happy about that, but didn't know it was there for a long time. And realized our sound wasn't quite right, and there was a rattling thing, and stuff was shorting out, and I couldn't figure it out, and not even sure if it was the bus. But needless to say, my wife and I one evening decided it was going to be our mission to get the bus out. Well, the funny part is, the hole's too small for your hand, so I have a little dilemma for you today. You get to pick which tool actually worked, okay? Was it the long needle nose pliers, which that would be their job typically? Was it the grilling fork, the extendable magnet, the pair of dinner knives, like chopsticks, or the coat hanger? Okay, you see that there? All right, so right now you got to vote, okay? Who thinks it was the coat hanger? Coat hanger? Okay. Who thinks it was the knives? A few of you think it was the knives. Who thinks it was the long magnet? Okay, nice. And the grilling fork, okay? And last, the long needle nose pliers. There you go, okay. Yeah, the answer is, no, let me clarify. Each of these tools has a purpose, okay? Right? Grilling fork, good for picking up meat and things. Pliers, you would think, good for grabbing things in a long, narrow hole, okay? The magnets, obviously, it's extendable, and if it's strong enough, should be able to do the job. The knives are not meant to do this, but they're for the kitchen table. And the coat hanger, obviously, is meant to hold your clothes. So, all that being said, the grilling fork wins, okay? The grilling fork, down the hole, wedged around the bus, is able to get it out. All the other items stunk, didn't do the job at all, okay? Needle-nose pliers weren't long enough, couldn't open the handles far enough. Yeah, anyway. But here's my point today, that sometimes we forget our purpose. And these tools each have a purpose. The grilling fork obviously is not a bus remover, okay? It's meant to be used at the grill. And sometimes we lack or forget why we're on the planet. So I want to take a look at our next slide, which is basically our ultimate purpose for living. And I don't bring you a new message today. You guys know a lot about love, and you know a lot about the greatest commandments. And some theologians may disagree, but I believe this is our ultimate purpose. Famous passage the Israelites would often recite. Here it is. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. Famous passage found in Deuteronomy. Basically, Moses is giving this message to the people, and in a powerful way, trying to lead them down the path of following God, keeping God as the highest top priority. Later in Matthew, Jesus quotes Deuteronomy when he's tested by the Pharisees. He says, the Pharisee says this, Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replies, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, which we just read, quoting Deuteronomy. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law, all the law and the prophets hang on these two commands, these two commandments. And you guys know that. If you take the Ten Commandments, you can break them down. The first half is about God. The last half is about loving other people. And basically, it can all be summed up with, well, love God. Because if you love God, then you will love people and you'll do all the rest of the things. But I wanted to remind you today to say, you know what? We know these things in our head. I know these things in my heart. And you guys have heard them many times. But sometimes we forget or we're not intentional about how we could actually love God and how we could actually love people specifically. So I wanted to take a few minutes with you this morning and try to answer these two big questions. Here they are. How can we love God and people better? Would you agree that there would be room for improvement in your life to do those better? If you don't think you need improvement, then maybe you should come up and talk. But I need improvement. And even though I try hard to do those things in my own flesh and my own energy, I need God's strength to even love Him back. He has to love me first or I've just got nothing. And to be able to love other people often takes sacrifice, and it's not natural for us to want to do that. Our youth group tried to grab a hold of these concepts a couple years ago. And one of our themes, actually the theme for the entire school year was this. was simply love. And if you look at our little picture, the white arrows pointing in, you guys should remember this, right? Okay. The white arrows pointing in were what? Do you remember? God's love for us. Okay? There you go. That we have to receive love from God. You can tell I did a good job teaching it there. I didn't remember. Yeah. And the black arrows are our love for other people. Does that make sense? If you look at it, receiving God's love and then sharing it. And so the idea in 1 Corinthians was that we'll do everything in love. Simply love. If you do one thing this whole school year, that was our theme, love. Love God and love people. And so I thought it was important to bring it up. And now I wanted to share with you our theme song that we had for that. Do we have any Family Force 5 fans in the room? Okay. Here it is. There you go. There's the cover. And so I want to do a little reciting with you, but I don't know if it's going to fly. So I'm going to try this. You guys got to help me out. Okay. All right. If I say, hold up, wait a minute, you say, put a little love in it. Got it? Are you ready? Hold up, wait a minute. There we go. Good. Now, you know, it's kind of funny, but the song fit really well. And if you've ever seen the band, they're kind of crazy. But the message is good. Well, here's where I want to go on this morning. In light of our ultimate purpose to love, okay, is in our best interest that we would learn how to do that better. And in order to do that, I think it's important, actually valuable, to look at Gary Chapman's book. He writes a book called The Five Love Languages. And to use his book as a framework. Here's a quick synopsis of what the book is about. It says that love is a fundamental element in relationships. And he breaks down the way that people like to be loved, or the ways that people like to be loved, into five categories or five languages: quality time, words of affirmation, gifts, acts of service, and physical touch. Now, you might be familiar with those, but while it's not a formula, I think it does give us a good framework for it. And while love is not limited to these expressions, love is a little bit more fluid than that. But I feel like it's a good place to start. So we're going to take a look, and here they are. You can see them: time, words, gifts, service, and touch. But here's the remix side of the whole message today. As I've read some of Gary's work and looked at some of his other materials, a lot of his stuff focuses on relationships, marriage and family and children and parenting and loving people. And so I wanted to grab this whole concept and kind of flip it a little bit and say, well, what would it look like if we actually tried to love God back in these kind of five different ways, as well as people? Now, if you've read the books and he talks about this, then forgive me, you can correct me later. But I felt like a lot of what his stuff was about relationships with people. So I wanted to take a minute and say, what would it look like if we actually tried to do this with God? If you remember, Steve Adrianson and Steve Spain had talked about remaining in the vine and connecting with God and spending time with God and how we use our time. And the first one is time. How could we love God through the use of time? And basically, it's not real difficult. It's real simple. It's be with Him. That God just wants you to be with Him. And I have a hard time with that. I love God in a lot of other different ways, but sometimes just being with Him can be a challenge. And so Jesus gives us an example in Mark 1. He says, very early in the morning, now let me give you a little context. Very early in the morning, well, Jesus had just got done healing people and doing ministry, and that was the day before, and now He's about to head out into another day of teaching and traveling and helping people, and He goes away in the morning, and He goes very early in the morning while it was still dark. Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where He prayed. But even Jesus had to kind of connect with the Father and have some time to refresh, to renew, maybe to express His heart or whatever it might be. But I think it's pretty cool that God took time to be with God. We got to do that, right? If Jesus needs to be with the Father, how much more do we need to do that? And you guys, I struggle with this. Just to set aside time and just be with God is challenging. It's very challenging, but important. And here's the flip side. Well, how does God love us with His time? Well, the cool part about God is, like, He's omnipresent, right? So, like, He's always available. You want to be with God? What do you got to do? Just decide that you want to be with God and spend some time with Him. He is always available. So God loves us all the time with His time. All right, here's the next one, words. That verbally expressing our love to God like Dan was talking about earlier, thanksgiving and gratitude and giving God words to how you feel about Him. Now, it might sound funny, but maybe you could even write God a love note or a prayer, or even just talking to Him quietly in your own heart or even out loud, or maybe you need to shout it from a mountaintop. But in some way, express verbally to God how you feel about Him. Do you think that means something to Him? Man, I sure do. Here's what Ephesians says in 6:18. Obviously, Paul is talking about the armor of God, and at the end of that, he talks about praying. He says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests." I think we can do that anytime, anywhere, that we can spend time with God and express how we feel about Him, to Him. I want you to pull out your Bibles. If you got a Bible, I want you to look up Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. We're going to take a couple verses out of there that I'd like you to actually look at yourself. In the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. While you're finding that, I'll just give you a little bit of background. Moses was in charge of the people of Israel, and Moses has died and passed away. And now Joshua is taking the mantle of leadership over and is trying to, rally the troops. And hearing from God, he shares these words with people that around him, and the words of God come to him as well. And here's what it says in verse 8. It says, "Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." And this whole idea of actually reading God's word is a way that we could love God through words. Not just sharing our verbal words with Him, but actually reading His word, because the Bible is His love letter to you and me. That He's expressed His heart and His affection and His care for you in this book. And so that even as we read the Bible, that those words, God's words, can actually be another way of loving Him by reading what He has written to us. Now, lest this message get all mental and not have a lot of practice, we're going to just take a minute and do this. I'm going to give you a chance to give God a little bit of your time and some of your words. So we're just going to have a little time for some personal prayer to say, you know what, I'm going to give you a minute or two just to express your heart to God. Tell Him thank you for something. Tell Him you're grateful for something. Tell Him what He means to you. Just quietly in your own heart, we're just going to do that right now. Is that cool? Even if it's not, we're going to do it. Okay? All right, let's pray. God, would you just hear these people as they pray to you and express their heart to you? God, we love you, and we just want to say that you're special to us. You're important to us. You're amazing. You're wonderful. You're awesome. You've done so many things on our behalf, and you love us in so many different ways. We just want to say thank you. Amen. How many of you like presents? Yeah? I like getting gifts, too. And I was trying to think, well, what does it look like if we try and give God gifts? And what kind of gifts would He like? Would He like a gift card to Chipotle? Would he like, you know, a nice outfit from the mall? Probably not. I don't know. Does He wear clothes? I don't know. Yeah. So, like, what does it look like to give God gifts? And here's kind of how I summed it up in my head. Well, there's all these different ways we could try to give God gifts. We could give Him our money or our time. We could give Him our service and all this kind of stuff. Well, I kind of wrapped it up into one word, which was obedience. And I think obedience covers so many things that, and you don't really think about it as a gift. But if you're a parent, what do you really want from your kids a lot of the time? I want you to listen the first time. Okay? You want their obedience. And you don't want them to be like, well, why? Well, why? Well, why? Well, no. I don't want to. You just want compliance, right? You want them because you're trying to keep them safe. You're trying to take care of them. And most of the time, you want obedience. And you know what? Under this whole thing, I think obedience basically is basically this. Do this, and God will feel loved. Don't you think? That if you do His instruction book, if you obey what He's written and asked, He's going to feel loved. And in fact, in John, actually 1 John, it talks about, hey, love for God is obedience. So here's what Joshua says in 1:7. You can look it up again. Hopefully you stuck a finger in your Bible. Maybe you didn't. Go back to Joshua 1. We're going to move up a verse 7. This is a famous passage where he's talking about being strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Did you get that? Be careful to obey. I lost my place. I had to go back and reiterate that, didn't I? All the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it, from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. But this whole idea of obedience is challenging and difficult, but something that's really going to make a difference in the way that we express our love for God. So maybe you don't even think about it. That actually obeying God in some small form, whatever, let's say you're struggling with a sin, all right? That giving up that sin or trying to fight against that could be an expression of love for God, all right? That doing some of the commands and trying to speak and not swear could be an act of expression of love for God. Or trying to give up smoking or trying not to get drunk or trying not to go out on the weekend and do things you know you shouldn't be doing. Whatever it might be, maybe it's just loving your kids better. Maybe it's doing your best at work. That these expressions of obedience could actually be love for God. I think sometimes we forget that. We get wrapped up in kind of being legalistic about trying to be a better person. But God would actually be loved by some of our, or all of our obedience. Now, I don't want to neglect that there are other gifts that we could give God. Certainly He wants us to give us, or give Him our heart, to give Him our life. Certainly, money and finances and our talents. And there's so many other gifts that we could give God. But I thought obedience summed it up well. So what does it look like for God? On the flip side, does God give us gifts? Well, certainly He's given us many gifts. And the one that comes to mind for me is the gift of the Holy Spirit. That God actually gives a part of Himself to a believer when they accept Christ. A piece of God to be their conscience sort of in their mind and convict them and guide them and lead them and teach them and help them obey. So the gift of the Holy Spirit for sure. But you can think of countless blessings, can't you? Physical blessings, material blessings, spiritual blessings, even spiritual gifts that God has given us. Lots of ways that God has given gifts back to us. All right, here's the next one, service. A lot of you do this. A lot of you are serving in our church body. A lot of you serve as cell leaders or work in the kids areas or work with the youth group or doing finance stuff or cleaning the building. Or just out in the community. You're serving maybe at a homeless shelter or downtown or maybe at the community park. Whatever it might be, I think our church body is doing pretty well at trying to serve people. But I want to encourage you again that we can love God through our service. Here's what 1 Peter says. 1 Peter 4. It says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. You know, for me, I feel like this past year, I've loved God the most in the area of service. Actually, I feel like I've kind of OD'd on service and feel like I'm kind of out of balance in the other ways that I could love God. I feel like I've served and served and served and kind of have forgotten a little bit about why I'm serving. With our building project, with all the things that have been going on, I'm a bit exhausted and tired. I was kind of hoping the project would be done so that I wouldn't be doing the project and preaching today. But to say this, I feel like I've served and served, but sometimes I lose my focus and I forgot that my service was actually an act of love. For a while, the service, even now, feels long and tedious and difficult and challenging sometimes. And I want it to be over. And I've forgotten that I was actually loving God and the church body and the teenagers by doing all this work on this project that I don't get to see the tangible spiritual results of yet. But I wanted to encourage you to say, you know what, sometimes we can get so focused on one of the love languages that we forget to love God in other ways. And for me, that's really true. And I just need to be with God. I need to just spend some time and just be still and focus on some of these other ways, like just connecting with Him in worship and possibly not wearing myself out in service so much. But some of you don't serve at all. So for you, grab a hold of this one, all right? Like kicking your butt. Yeah, why don't you go get a ministry, huh? No, I'm kidding. Not really. All right, so how does God do that for us, all right? In which ways does God kind of serve us, which kind of sounds kind of strange, but you know what? He serves us all the time, and sometimes we don't even recognize it. He serves us through His protection, through His provision, through His power, through His guidance. He is constantly loving and serving His people all the time, even though He's God the King. And so, I don't know, I just think it's really cool when we break it down to see the ways that God loves us back in these ways. Now, you know, these are all just from this book. You know, the Bible doesn't break it all down into these categories, but I feel like Scripture plays into a lot of these topics. So here's the last one, touch. Touch might be the hardest one. I mean, you can't really give God a handshake or a hug or hold His hand or go for a walk. So touch feels a little bit of a stretch. Well, how do we do that with God? How can we actually physically express our love for God through touch? And I would argue that, you know what, there's no perfect example, maybe when we get to heaven. But for now, I think worship plays an important part. So that we could touch the heart of God through worship. And here's what the Psalms say, Psalm 95, 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. That physically actually bowing down and kneeling before God could be a physical way we could say, all right, I'm going to humble myself and show God some love, even though I can't give Him a bear hug or crawl up into His lap. Maybe I could just humble my heart and humble my body. Maybe you put your hands up in the air when you worship. Or these guys were dancing around today. I think that's cool. You know, to express yourself to God through worship is important. All right, so the flip side, how does God physically love you and me? Well, I think one of the greatest physical expressions of God's love for us is the person of Jesus. He wasn't content just to be back up in heaven. He actually sent Jesus, flesh and bone, so the disciples got to hug Him and shake His hand and walk with Him. And for a time, God was physically present on the earth, and people could actually do that. Wouldn't that be wild? That'd be sweet to take Jesus out for some coffee or, I don't know, what do they drink? Like fine wine, whatever it might be. But you guys get the idea that you could actually like hang with Jesus? That'd be so cool. But the idea of, you know, God wasn't content just to be up in heaven and to be far off. He sent a representative of Himself to come and express Himself physically to us and then to die and then to rise again. All right, so we've looked at ways we can love God better. All right, now let's explore ways that we can love people better. All right, so we got our next big question here, which is what? How can we love people better? Go ahead, Bruce. What we got? One more? Next? We good? All right. So we're going to do a little audience participation. Because you know I'm not content just to stand up here and talk. Because you guys are going to fall asleep, and then you're not going to apply what we're talking about. I'm teasing. No, I'm not. You guys need to interact. So I'm going to show you the five different love languages, give you a little bit of a definition of each, and then you're going to turn to the people around you and do a little self-assessment and say, hey, what would be the top two for you? Okay? Because I want you to hear how you could love each other better. Does that make sense? All right, so let's give it a try. Here comes the first set. All right, time. Because I feel especially loved when a person gives me undivided attention and spends time alone with me. All right, let me explain that just a little bit more. Guys, sitting on the couch, watching the game with your arm around your wife doesn't count. Okay? But Gary Chapman talks about quality time. Uninterrupted, undisrupted time. Does that make sense? So just physically being near one another doesn't count as quality time. Or even like support. that sometimes, like going to one of your kids' sporting events or cheering on a friend who's in an activity, that your support to cheer them on could be spending some time to support them, to cheer them on. All right, so quality time. So think about that. Are you a person who likes to be loved with quality time? All right, the next one is words. I feel especially loved when someone pitches in to help me, perhaps by running errands or taking on my household chores. All right. Wait, yeah. Hey. All right, did I start with words and end with service? Because that, I think I'm going crazy. Bruce, what are you doing? All right, I feel especially loved when people express how grateful they are for me and for the simple everyday things I do. Playing tricks on me. All right, how many of you, be honest, when somebody writes you an encouraging note or you get some mail or an encouraging email or whatever, that somebody compliments you, that feels good? Does that feel good? You get a note of encouragement, I guess you're like, no, I want a toy. I want a candy bar. All right, forget you. There's some of you in the room, I know you like words. And you long to hear words from people that you care about. Even the words I love you, or even, hey, I'm there for you, or I care about you. All right, so think about that. Is words one of your top love languages? You know, for me, my wife often writes me notes, especially when I go away on trips. She'll write notes and stick them in my bag. So I'll be away at Miracle Camp I'll get a note from my wife. She says, hey, I'm thinking about you. I love you. The boys love you. You know, and I really, really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. I wanted to jump back to time while we're still there. My mom came down this week. We were struggling hard this week, having a lot of things and responsibilities to do. It was like finals week with the building. We had like 6 inspections and all kinds of stuff going on. And she was going to take our boys for a little bit. I said, you know what, Mom? Could you come down here instead? So she gave up the last 4 days and gave us some time. So thank you for loving us that way. Very cool. Good example. All right, next one, gifts. I feel especially loved by someone who brings me gifts and other tangible expressions of love. A lot of you raised your hand when you said you like presents. And it's not just a present, but a thoughtful gift. If you actually think about what the person would enjoy and then get them something that would fit with who they are. Does that make sense? A thoughtful gift. Not just a random thing you grabbed at the store, but to say, you know what, I got your favorite whatever it is because I was thinking about you. So my dad did that for me this week. He came down yesterday, came in the door, a pack of Reese cups. You're the man! So thank you, Dad. Brought me down some sugar, and it was good. I appreciate it. And I like Reese cups. It wasn't just a random gift, and he knows that. All right, service. Since we already read it, I feel especially loved when someone pitches in to help me, perhaps by running errands or taking on my household chores. All right, be honest, teenagers. How many of you would feel loved if somebody else came in and cleaned your room and you didn't have to do it? Yeah. All right, if somebody else unloads and loads the dishwasher, does that feel good? Anybody? Yeah? If somebody else mows your lawn and you show up, get off work, and your lawn is mowed, you know what? That happened to me this week. My neighbor Keith decided to mow my front yard, and I got home and I'm just like, I thought my wife did it. I'm like, no. And I looked at the stripes and he just kept mowing. He mowed his and then he just kept mowing right across and mowed my yard. I caught him on the back deck later that night. I'm like, dude, thank you so much for mowing my yard because I was so overwhelmed. I haven't had any time, and I really, really appreciate that, Keith. I don't even know if Keith knows the Lord. But you know what? He loved me through an act of service, which I thought, you know what? That's pretty awesome. So, physical labor, service is task-oriented. If you've got stuff that needs done, helping people out, sometimes that speaks a lot to you. All right, last one, touch. I feel especially loved when a person expresses feelings for me through physical contact. Anything like a kiss, a hug, a handshake, a pat on the back. I don't know about you, but my boys like to wrestle. And for them, wrestling together is physical touch, and they feel loved when we like do a big dog pile in the living room, especially if Dad gets hurt. My boys also like to snuggle, and so does my wife, just to hang out and snuggle on the couch and chill out, you know. And obviously, it can be sexual too. And all the guys are like, "Amen, brother. Did you preach it? I'm gonna tell my wife." Okay, it's good. And God made it that way if you're married. So there you go. Physical touch is important. Did you know they do, like, they've done studies, so, like, with animals or and even little babies, like, they need physical touch to actually grow and develop. That we're meant to have contact with people. Okay, so now it's your turn. All right, give me the next one. All right, here's your part, okay? You're going to take like 3 minutes, turn to the people near you, and tell them what are your top two that you think they are. That was kind of the little 30-minute survey. 30-minute. 30-second survey. And then answer this question. What could someone do to really make you feel loved? Okay? Tell them what your top two are and what someone could do to really make you feel loved. All right, go. All right, you got 1 minute. All right, you about done? All right, I actually have ways to love you in these boxes up here, okay? So for time, raise your hand if you are a person who likes quality time. Okay? Quality time? Cool? Cool? Well, I wanted to invite my wife down. I'm going to bring 5 people down. Cool? Yeah, everybody clap for Tina. Yay, Tina! You're right here. You get to open the time box. And it's not a time bomb. Good. How many of you like acts of service? Acts of service makes you feel loved. Cool. Cool. I'm going to invite my mom down. Come on down. You get to stand by Tina. Yay. As you know, my mom rocks. You see my shirt? She's here. It's good. All right. How many of you like words of encouragement? Words of encouragement. All right. Keep your hands up high. Is there anybody with their hand up who serves in our children's ministry and has ever changed a diaper? Anybody? Right there. Come on up here. Come on, Leah. Yes. All right, gifts. This is, anybody like gifts? Presents? Gifts? Okay, gifts. Nice. Cool. If you are new, if today is your first day at LCC, I've got a gift for you. This is not your first day. It's neither is your first day. Is it your first day? All right, come on up. You can both come. That's fine. What are your names? Jake? Hi, Kelly. You can stand right by your gift box. I'll shake your hand. That's cool. And touch. Who likes physical touch? All the guys raise their hand. Dave, come on up here, Dave. All right, on the count of three, you guys can all open your gifts, okay? 1, 2, 3, go. Nice. Oh, Dave got a free hug. What's up, dude? Nice. You guys got donuts? I love it. Leah, open your notes. What did you get? Yep, and I will give you several acts of service. Cool? All right, next time I come over, I'll do some jobs for you. And my lovely little wife, what did you get?
I got a hot date with my man next week.
A hot date?
Yes, I did.
That's good stuff right there. Quality time? That's good.
Thank you.
All right, you guys can have a seat. Oh, wait, Leah, read your note. What did you get?
Thank you note.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. That's cool. Yeah. All right. You guys can grab a seat. All right. Was that fun? Maybe. You guys, it's not hard, but it does take time and thought to love people. And obviously, you don't have to love five people on a roll all at once, all on the same day. But if you could think strategically about the people in your life and what would make them feel appreciated, I think our love would be more effective. So let's take a look at some of the verses in the Bible. Tom has often talked about how cell groups are supposed to be about community and about love. And a lot of times talks about all the different ways in the Bible that it talks about the one another's in the Bible. Well, here are some of them, okay? By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Serve one another in love and encourage one another. And the list could go on. We could probably put up 10 or 15 more things that God wants us to be about, especially in community, especially with the people in this room and in cell group, but also with your community and your neighbors and your friends and your coworkers. I feel like for me, it's been a tough season. This year has been long and difficult and challenging, but my cell group has been really, really behind me and behind my family, and really feel loved and cared for by them. And just to watch our cell group in action, watch the body of Christ working. I don't know about your groups that you've been in, but in our group, we've had people pass away. We've had people that are moving. We've had people with personal problems. We've had people with really, really difficult challenges. And to watch our group kind of pull together, and even though not a lot of us are having the energy and strength to do it, people are still coming together to love our people in our group in really tangible, specific ways. Like a group of us went over and helped paint the Earhart's house because they're moving, going to Russia. And people have come over and helped at our house doing things, and doing jobs around town or taking care of our kids or whatever it might be. It's been really awesome to watch people loving each other and doing it well. I wanted to read to you out of Romans 12. Paul has a really good knack for summing up things. And in his chapter 12 in Romans, he talks a lot about what it looks like to really love. So listen to what Paul has to say. As I read it, see if you can hear any of the love languages coming out, okay, as Paul talks. He says, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourself. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Because Paul sums it up really well, man. If we would grab a hold of what it looks like to specifically love people in tangible ways like that, I think we'd all be better off for it, and the world would too. You guys, I want to wrap it up here and give you a challenge. Here it is. That you know what you need to do. You know these things. So let me remind you of some of the things you know. Parents, you know you can love your kids better. Husbands and wives, you know that you can love each other better. Teenagers, you guys know that you can love your parents and your brothers and sisters better. Right? Yeah. Employees, you know that you can love your coworkers better. And you guys know that you can love the members in your cell group better. There are classmates and teachers. There are crews and work groups, relatives and teammates that we could all love better. So I would encourage you to say, you know what, you know it, so now go do it. Figure out how to specifically love the people in your life in a way that really means something to them. So it's going to take some communication and trying to figure out what that looks like. Because here's the bottom line. That loving God and people takes hard work, and it takes thoughtful action. And at the heart of it, it's about being less selfish. And it's about being more God-centered. And about being others-focused. And those are kind of the obstacles that get in our way. Our own selfishness is so destructive that it keeps us from loving people in powerful ways. I don't want to give up acts of service or time because I'm selfish. Does that make sense? It's easier to buy a gift or something like that. Or a lot of times, we'll love people the way we like to be loved. Like, I love gifts, so I give gifts. But I don't always love my wife the way she wants to be loved because I'm a gift receiver and giver, and it takes effort to actually love people in the way that they like to be loved and not just default to the way that you like to get it. Does that make sense? So it may take some sacrifice. If you have a friend who likes gifts, then you're probably going to have to spend some money. But if you have a hard time with that, you're going to have to let some of that go. If you're a person who doesn't like to be touched, and you got a friend who does, or a spouse, you got to figure that out. All right, there's going to be some sacrifice involved. If you don't have a lot of time, but the people in your life need time, like for me, my boys and my wife are dying for some quality time. They've been working like crazy. But time is something I can't give right now, and it's really tough. So trying to carve out and make that a priority is really challenging. So my encouragement to you is this. Find out how people like to be loved. Push your selfishness down and invite God to help you love people. Cool? Let's pray. God, we are selfish people. And we struggle to love you well. And we struggle to love other people well. Would you please help us to receive your love, even today? Would you help us to express our love for you? And would you help us to love the people around us in a way that points them back to you? We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. We've got a couple resources for you. This really wasn't a Gary Chapman seminar, in case you thought it was. It was just a love talk, okay? It's a talk about love, because God talks about love all the time in Scripture. And so if you would like to love people better, here are just some resources. Gary Chapman writes these books. The first one, the original one, The Five Love Languages, is mostly kind of the whole concept unveiled, and then a lot about couples and married people and relationships. There's one actually for singles, which you might think kind of sounds weird, but you know what? Single people can love the people in their world. They don't have to be married to love people. So really good book there. One on teenagers. Actually, more for parents to read about how they can love their teenagers better. What would be worth to you guys if I could tell your teenagers how to love, or tell your parents how to love you better? Tell your teenagers how to love you better, yeah. That's pretty invaluable, right? And then the other one, again for parents, would be the five love languages of children. There are specific ways that your own kids, even if they're little, would like to be loved and can be loved. So anyway, some resources for you.